This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Love it. Soak it all in. Put it on the bulletin board. Audio courtesy of FanDuel Detroit, ESPN, The Ringer, and The Athletic. I had asked. It was a homework assignment over the last month. Let's find the haters. Let's find anybody doubting the Cavs right now, because you're wine and gold. Now, they didn't clinch home court advantage through the Eastern Conference, but it feels like they clinched it. They're 48-10. The Celtics lost last night to the Detroit Pistons, by the way. Congratulations to J.B. Bickerstaff. They've won eight in a row. They are now not the talk of the league, because I feel like the Cavs are the talk of the league right now. But nice win. Nice win, Detroit, against the Boston Celtics. And looky here. The Cavaliers in command of the Eastern Conference, in command of the home court for the entirety of the Eastern Conference playoffs. And maybe with the slight edge over the Thunder, home court throughout the NBA playoffs. Anthony Lima and in for Ken Carman. Today, we welcome somebody who knows the Cavs better than just about anybody else, Danny Cunningham.
Good morning.
Is in studio.
How are you?
Danny, you heard all the haterade that Owen put together, as the kids used to say like 30 years ago. So, Danny, you heard all of that, and you saw what happened last night with the Boston Celtics. Now what, Jaylen Brown did not play
right
in that game. So you and I are looking forward to Friday night and what a big game that is. Perhaps maybe Boston might have been looking ahead. I'm still curious who they're going to play in that game and whether or not Darius Garland is going to play in that game. But right now, we are talking about a late February. How many days are there in February?
28. One more day.
Okay.
One more day. As late as
tilt.
It gets in February. Doesn't get any later in February than tomorrow.
Someone's got to teach me the song so I can teach it to my kids, because I still at
How
the age
know
of 43.
February is 28 days.
Well, I
Most
don't know
years.
With the leap year, and then I get confused. Does it go the other way? Is it 27 days or is it 29
we
days?
We leap every voting year.
Oh. And I voted. I made sure
every
to vote.
Every presidential voting year, I should say.
So you leap before you vote.
I did not vote in the primary.
Correct.
Despite what people might think about
it. They give you one more day to think about it. Are you really sure you want to do that?
That's what we need.
So, first of all, you wake up this morning, or maybe you saw it last night, and you see that the Celtics lost. Are you thinking in your mind it's over? Home court is the Cavs.
So now they're 6.5 games up. They're 7 games up in the loss column. Do you think the Cavs are going to lose 7 games the rest of the season? Because I don't. I don't know if they're going to finish with 67 wins, 66, 65, but they're going to be somewhere in their ballpark.
Danny, I think even if, knock on wood, best player in the Cavs had to miss a bunch of games, like I still think it would be hard for them.
Because I also don't think Boston's going to run through the finish line of this regular season. They're going to want to play better basketball, I think, in the month of March than what we've seen from them for most of the season, but they don't have enough time left. There are not enough games left in the regular season for them to make up this gap. I think that this conversation is over. The Cavs are going to start every series in the Eastern Conference at home, and they're going to have any potential game 7 in the Eastern Conference at home. The only regular season questions that we should have left are, what do they look like tomorrow night in Boston in what is without question, I think, their biggest game of the season. And two, do they ultimately finish with the best record in the league? Do they have a better record than Oklahoma City? And would a potential game one of the finals against the Thunder be in Cleveland or OKC? Like, those are the only two regular season questions I have left.
And the other question I would add is this the best Cavs regular season ever? I'm hesitating because I still think 2017 was the best team.
Sure, but not the best regular season.
I'm lumping in the playoffs. We have the 66 win Cavs under LeBron, the first go around in 2009 that they finished that year, and we all thought that team was going to the NBA Finals, and that didn't happen,
right,
unfortunately. But you know, those are the only questions that I really have about this team. Like, I don't even know, is there another level? Are they capable of even reaching another level in the regular season? I don't even know. They've been so good. They've had three huge win streaks. They've added the wing that they so desperately needed, in my opinion, come playoff time. They've added that guy. So they're at such a point. Like, they shot almost 60% from three the other night and drilled a team that blew them out a year ago twice in Orlando.
Right.
Like, how much better can the Cavs even play?
I mean, I do think that they have another level to get to. I don't know that we'll see it in the regular season, just because it's not going to be necessary to see in the regular season. They've proven everything that they can prove in.
You're telling me how their peak of this year,
I mean,
that you've seen, is not good enough to beat Boston. You're saying they have to get to another level.
I think it is, but I think they're capable of getting to another level. I think both things can be true, because if you look at this team, and I really strongly feel that if Boston didn't exist, that people nationally would feel much different about the Cavs than they do. Even with the Cavs not having proven it in the postseason yet, but if there wasn't a team that just won the title and brought everybody back in the Boston Celtics, and very clearly in Boston has not kept their foot down on the gas for the entire regular season the way that the Cavs have and the way that Oklahoma City has, I think people would view the Cavs differently, because they've been so dominant. They've been so good in every facet. Yeah, defensively, maybe they haven't been great all season, but they've been really good.
You know, they have that level.
But
they
Yeah, that's the area where you kind of give them the benefit of the doubt, because they've proven year after year with this same roster that they know how to be great on that end. And offensively, they are right now the second best offense the NBA has ever seen. So we would be talking about this team.
There's been a better offense than this?
Last year's Boston. That's it. That's
it's hard to believe.
That is the only team in NBA history with a better offensive rating than what the Cavs have right now. And it's like by hundredths of a point per possession. Like, it's really, really close. That's how good the Cavs are. We would be talking about them as surefire, one, Eastern Conference favorites. Like, if Boston didn't exist, I think the Cavs would probably be like minus 300 to win the Eastern Conference. Like, that's how big of a gap there is between them and everybody else. And you watch the game against New York, there's a canyon between them and the Knicks. And then everybody else other than Boston is worse than New York. Like, there's just not another team in the Eastern Conference that I think is capable of beating the Cavs other than the Celtics. And I feel the same way about Boston. The only team that's capable of beating the Celtics in the Eastern Conference is the Cavs.
All right, so I thought it was interesting. We came in today, and we were on completely opposite sides about Friday. We're on the same side that we want to see both teams healthy Friday.
Yes.
Would be awesome, right? Would be just an awesome matchup between these two teams. Unfortunately, you know how the NBA load management gods operate, and you certainly know how, just coming into this game, like, Darius missed the last two. Looks like Jaylen Brown has missed a few for the Boston Celtics.
So he played on, they played Tuesday night.
They played Toronto.
Right, played, he left that game briefly,
yes,
with a leg injury, came back in, and then didn't play last night. I don't know if that's like a legitimate thing, or I don't know if it was just, hey, it's the second night of a back-to-back. I really hope that he plays tomorrow night. I really hope that Darius Garland, I would anticipate that Darius will be able to play. Like, the Cavs have made that seem as if it's not a very serious injury for him. I really hope that both teams are at full strength, because we haven't seen that. In the three games that the Cavs played against Boston, Kristaps Porzingis obviously didn't play in the first one in Boston. The Cavs had four rotation players out in that game.
And Brown didn't play in the second one.
These two teams have not been fully healthy for any of the three games that they've played.
Yeah, Cavs did not have Okoro and Wade.
Well, and Max Strus didn't play in the game that they won because he hadn't made his season debut yet. In the two games the Cavs have lost, I believe they were missing three or four rotation players in both of those games. And the Cavs, to be fair here, it's not as if, you know, Boston's the only team they haven't been healthy against. They've only had two games this year with their entire roster available. But I really hope tomorrow night is number three. Like, I think because that is the most important regular season game the Cavs will play.
So I posed the question on X the other day. And, of course, as always, our social media reaction brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. But I said, is there any chance we get some Missoula mind games where Friday he says, you know what? The last thing I would want to do is give this new version of the Cavs any kind of confidence, whether it's in their rotations, whether it's just going and beating them outright with DeAndre Hunter now on the team. Like, the last thing I'd want to do is do that. Plus, they can't really, like you just said it, you don't think there's a way that they could even catch the Cavs. So it's not about we need this win for seeding purposes. Seems like Boston is like, we can go on the road anywhere and beat anybody anytime.
Well, they're better on the road than they are at home. Like, their away record this year and for the past several years has been better on the road, even in the postseason last year. Like, where did the Cavs win a game against Boston in the second round? It was in TD Garden. Like, yeah. That is not something that is abnormal for them. They are a team that historically, at least in this era of Boston Celtics basketball, has been better away from home. And that's a weird thing, but it's the truth. So they do feel that way. It's not something as if, especially having a team that has been there, done that. And we saw this with the Cavs when LeBron was here. They got the one seed the year they won the title. We all, I think, agree that 2016-17 team was the better basketball team. Do you know how many regular season games they won that year?
What was that?
51.
Yeah, like that's remarkable to think
right,
about.
But they were, I think, significantly more talented than the team that won the title, but they just didn't care.
And also, their goal, certainly under Ty Lue, was to peak at the right time. Now, I throw out peaking at the right time with this team because they've just been good wire to wire.
Right.
So if anybody's like, hey, guys, this is not the time to peak, I'm like, when did they peak? They've been good across
they
the
had,
board.
They had a bad week in January, basically.
When
they,
Mobley
they had one bad week
out.
In November and one bad yeah. week in January, and that's basically been accounted for, what, 6 of their 10 losses so far?
Yeah, because the bad week way back when was the Hawks around Thanksgiving time. Like, they, right?
They lost the day before Thanksgiving to Atlanta, the day after Thanksgiving to Atlanta, and then they came back and they beat Boston a couple of nights later.
That did cost them the in-season tournament, though.
Which, you know, we'll see what kind of a factor.
For the best.
We'll see what kind of a factor that is. 216-474-0092. I just get nervous. You know, the NBA, a lot of the criticism the NBA gets, and rightfully so, 100% rightfully so, is that when I tune into a game, I'm not getting the best of these teams. The stakes are not high. And that's what I'm worried about Friday. The stakes are not high in terms of the number one seed. You and I are in agreement on that.
Right.
Boston doesn't seem to care now. They're going to be in, quote, LeBron's favorite term during the regular season, chill mode, probably the rest of the year. Because the only thing that matters to Boston is keeping Porzingis healthy. Right?
And well, I think it's keeping everybody healthy.
Sure.
I don't think it's just Porzingis.
Sure, but I say Porzingis because I don't know that they can obtain that other level. I know they were able to do it in the finals last year, but when I look at the Cavs, like I don't think they could get away with Porzingis being injured this year against the Cavs.
No, because look at what they faced last year. Look at their run through the postseason last year. Did they face a team that was fully healthy on their way to winning a title? No they didn't.
No.
But you know what? There was not a team last year in the NBA, aside from Boston, who was great, but there wasn't a team as good as the Cavs this year. There wasn't a team as good as what Oklahoma City is this year. Those teams didn't exist in their current forms last year. So Boston's run through the postseason, should they make it, is going to be infinitely tougher this year, even if you want to make the case, and I would probably agree with this, that beyond Cleveland and Boston, I think the Eastern Conference is worse this year than it was last year.
Yes.
Beyond Oklahoma City, is there a team I view that is capable of winning the title out West? Maybe not. But I think that there are three like historically great teams in the NBA this year. That was not the case last year. No matter who wins the title this year, it's going to be more difficult because if you are Boston or Cleveland, let's say the Cavs or the Celtics win the title. They're going to have to go through each other, which is beating a historically good team in the conference finals, and then they're going to have to most likely go through Oklahoma City, who has the best net rating of any team ever. Like, that is what we're talking about here.
Are you attempting to throw water on what I have attempted to make a topic over the last week, salivating over a potential Cleveland versus LeBron NBA finals?
I just haven't seen enough from the Lakers to know. Like, is that possible? Sure, but I
can't even believe it's possible, but I've watched the Lakers. I've watched the Lakers of late, and I'm seeing LeBron get that look on his face, in the eye. I'm starting to look at him, and I'm like, oh, my God, this could be dangerous.
He's starting to think.
To be fair, I'm also kind of thinking that about Golden State out of nowhere.
No,
with Jimmy Butler.
I don't see it with Golden State. I don't think Golden State's going to be able to do it in the postseason. Like, are they better? Are they giving themselves a better opportunity?
And they got two sure. great guys to attack it. They got Jimmy Butler has been one of those rare postseason guys that can take teams with lesser talent. Now he's playing with Steph Curry, who has not had a great year.
I would be floored if they beat Oklahoma City. I just don't see them being able to score enough in that series, and I don't think that they have somebody that can stop Shea. I don't. I think that the Lakers have a better chance because the Lakers at least can make the case, and Golden State can't do this. The Lakers can make the case they have the best player on the floor in any series. Maybe not against Denver, but against anyone else, they can say that because of Luka. Golden State can't do that. That's not what Jimmy is. That's not what Steph is.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, we're continuing on with yesterday's Detroit Pistons win over the Boston Celtics 117-97 last night. That's the eighth straight victory for JB Bickerstaff's Pistons. But we're hearing now from Boston Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla, who was asked about one of his players, All-Star Jaylen Brown, not participating in yesterday's contest.
In terms of Jalen, was there any shot of him playing, or was
he's pretty banged feeling? Up? Yeah, man, he's feeling a little bit better. He was pretty banged up though, you know, from last night. So, you know, he's just doing what's best for him.
No word yet on whether or not Brown will be active for Friday's game against the Cavaliers.
And I want him. I want him to be active. I want Darius to play. I want Porzingis to play. He's mm-hmm. one they've kind of been managing his minutes all year, because obviously they're the defending champs. Like, they're not really worried all that much, especially because the Cavs have made it so impossible for them to be caught. That, you know, the Celtics clearly are going to have to punt now on trying to get the number one seed. So I hope that they play. I just, there's some lingering doubt about Friday night because they play the Nuggets on Sunday. And I think in a way, like, they could see that as an NBA Finals matchup. I think they're going to be.
Now, I can see where you're coming from because maybe would the Cavs would have more confidence if they go into Boston and beat a full strength Boston Celtics
yes,
team, and if
we
you're
all
the Celtics,
would we not?
And you can prevent that from happening just by resting somebody. Maybe you do that, but also
which would suck
if the
which
Cavs totally go into suck. Boston and beat a Celtics team, even that maybe isn't at full strength. They're going to gain confidence just by winning in that building because that is the one thing that if you want to check off the boxes of things that the Cavs, and I understand that they actually did this in the postseason last year, but if you want to check off the boxes of things that you would like to see them do in the regular season, winning in Boston, winning a game in that building is probably the most important thing left, mm-hmm. probably the only thing they haven't done this year. And yeah, that might not matter because ultimately if they just win all their home games in the postseason, they could be NBA champions and they might not need to win a road game. But I think that you would still like to see them do that. But if I'm Boston, I don't know that I play Jaylen Brown. I selfishly hope everybody plays because I think that would give us, one, the most information about this team, and two, make for the best game.
It's funny. The last two nationally televised games, it's like, hey, let's get Cavs on national TV. Game's over 15 minutes in. Game's over 20
Sunday.
Minutes in.
Not Sunday against Memphis. Like, that game wasn't over early.
Yeah,
I mean, Memphis fought
game.
Back. But
Stephen A., after that Knicks game, is like, you just made me sit through that entire game. Basically, he's saying, yeah, a bunch of people turned it off.
Yeah, I mean, but can you... I don't want to say can you blame them, but if you're a Cavs fan, I do think that you're loving this. That this is the most fun, I think, that Cavs fans have probably ever had about a regular season. Now, postseason stuff is obviously different, and I was in high school during the 08-09 season when they won 66 games, but to me, watching this style of basketball, the fact that it's not so it doesn't revolve around one person the way that it did with LeBron back then, I think makes it a little bit more of a fun watch on a night-to-night basis.
It is really fun to be content with victory midway through around the third or fourth quarter.
I mean, if it goes that long.
Now, one team that hasn't basked in that feeling a lot this season, the Philadelphia 76ers, oof, who lost last night 110-105 to the New York Knicks. A game in which, I'm noting this out, Paul George, not a bad night. 25 points, got it going in the second half. And the reason I bring him up is because yesterday he made...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Announcement, for the time being, he is no longer Podcast P.
Want to let the Podcast P family know that after today's episode with Dwight, I plan to take a break from the pod just to focus on getting my body right, getting mentally right, you know, help this squad make a push towards our goal to finish the season out, give ourselves a chance to be in contentions to compete for a championship. I won't front. I look forward to us three being back together and doing this as we once started this.
Is this the first time a player has retired from podcasting to focus on basketball?
You know, they need, man, how many games in a row have they lost?
Nine.
Holy cow.
They are so bad. The fact that the Cavs lost to them is comical at this point. I would just like to congratulate Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo for influencing this, because those guys called this out.
They've been
on their Sunday
out,
night
yeah.
pod this past week, and then all of a sudden, a couple of days later, this happens. I find it hilarious. The fact that his season was going as poorly as it has, where he's been bad and the Sixers have been worse, and it took until now where they're how many games below 500, how many games out of 10th in the East are they in a bad Eastern Conference objectively, for him to say, you know what, maybe it's time for me to focus on basketball when the season's already lost. Like, it's just funny.
He's averaging 16 a game. He's always been a really good three-point shooter. He's down to 35%, and from the field at 6'8", it's really hard at 6'8". To shoot 43%
yeah.
from the field. So it's been an abysmal year. I don't listen to any of these athlete podcasts. No. I never have. Now, you know, road tripping when those guys were doing that. We were using that because, you know, the regular season was a regular season. It was something we could get excited about.
Well, and
those
it was
guys.
About the Cavs.
And yeah, sure. I don't listen to any of these. There is one guy I think could do a podcast really well that I think Browns fans would not want to hear right now. But Myles Garrett would be a great podcaster.
I don't think so.
I think he's got a lot to say. Have you ever put we've got a chance
to
pull him aside?
I think he would be good to have interviewed. I don't think he'd be a good podcast host.
I think he's got a lot of I remember the first time
the LeBron stuff that he gave us.
The Kevin Durant stuff that he gave us years ago. Like, that guy has a ton of opinions.
He'd be a good guest. I think he'd be a good guest. I don't think he'd be a great podcast host.
And that transitions us to the NFL, where we were at the Combine yesterday. Some draft news potentially here, as Abdul Carter, who some have suspected to be the number one overall pick in this draft, may need upcoming surgery as tests came up that he had a stress reaction in his right foot. Now, the recovery time for that surgery would be about 8 weeks, and could determine whether or not, of course, he competes at Pro Day. Now, this is ESPN's Matt Miller yesterday on NFL Live talking about the prospects of Carter.
I don't think it's going to be like Micah Parsons, where he plays two positions right out of the gate. I think he's going to come into the NFL as an edge rusher. Micah Parsons now is who I think Abdul Carter can become. He said he's going to be a game changer. I absolutely agree with him. He is by far the best player in this draft. And I think the rookie who has the best traits to come in and be that day one guy that the Titans need.
So Abdul Carter is somebody who I think Browns fans are starting to salivate, especially if they don't like either Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. I know there was a lot of Cam Ward buzz yesterday, but you know, it's been one really outstanding year for Abdul Carter, and it's hard. Is it because he is so very special, or is he just the next in the line of another Penn State, you know, edge rusher that can put up big numbers? He was banged up in the playoffs last year, still had some great moments, and then his last game, he was pretty much nowhere to be found.
But even, I don't know that I would say he was nowhere to be found against Notre Dame. Like, I thought he played really well. I thought Notre Dame did a good job of trying to go away from him and out-scheming him. And part of it was, when you're playing defensive end and you're essentially playing with one arm, it's a difficult position to be in. Like, if he has two good arms, I think Penn State wins that game. I think that they win that game because partially he recovers a fumble at the end of the half that he just couldn't grab because his right arm didn't work. Or left arm didn't work, but I think that he showed me how dominant he can be because of all of everything that Notre Dame in that game had to allocate to stop him, and he wasn't even close to healthy.
One thing I do see that's happening with Browns fans, because they don't like the quarterbacks, a lot of them, the ones that don't, I feel like they're elevating Abdul Carter as if he's Myles Garrett coming out, and he is not in that stratosphere of a prospect. So I think we got to be careful here.
What stratosphere do you think he is in?
I think he's good. Like, this is what happens with pass rushers, though. Like, I remember Vernon Golston. He was like, Vernon Golston, amazing. He's on Ohio State. Look at how teams scheme against him. And he's a different type of player. He's 270. And Abdul admitted he was 248 the other day, which is scaring some people. But TJ Watt's 250. Like, so I don't think that's the end all.
Sure.
But I think you got to be careful just because you don't like the quarterbacks. I remember going into this year, a lot of pundits were like, the blue chippers this year are nowhere near the blue chippers in other years. And that includes not just the quarterbacks. Like, so this is one great year out of Abdul Carter. Is it something you could see transcending, you know, at the next level? And I'm just a little hesitant to go there.
And finally, some sad news overnight. You might have to put in your Hoosiers Blu-ray for this evening because Oscar-winning actor Gene Hackman passed away, according to reports yesterday, at the age of 95. I mean, obviously, this is a tough break for a lot of sports movie fans like myself who consider Hoosiers to be one of the best of all time.
I've seen so many other movies way more than Hoosiers. I do know that we're on a sports talk station, and like, Ken would find that sacrilegious. Yes. He's quoted Hoosiers up and down. I'm not a big sports movie guy, which I don't know. I don't know why that is.
I mean, I've seen Hoosiers a couple times. Yeah.
I think it's just because for sports, like if you're in the sports world, Hoosiers is referenced so much
that
I've kind of been tired of it. But his career is one of the like sleepy elite level careers. And he just walked away. Just walked away from Hollywood, from movies. Where was he living?
New Mexico. Yep.
Good for him. I mean, what a great life this guy lived. Obviously incredibly accomplished. His career is No, I don't know if it's second to none, but it's up there. I mean, he is one of the best actors of all time.
Really, really fun watch of a movie that is not a good movie is Crimson Tide. Crimson Tide is not a good movie. Like,
how dare you?
Like, critically, it's not
there
a good movie.
There you go, sports movie.
But I have, right? But I absolutely love, I love that movie. I love the overt racism by Hackman in that movie throughout, paired up with Denzel Washington. And James Gandolfini is in there. Of a young
before we go,
James Gandolfini.
Here you go, power rank your top three overtly racist movies.
Oh, Birth of a Nation, number one. Watched that in African American Studies way back in the day at OU. That was The Godfather. Godfather is so racist. Oh. Okay. In every way. And then you got to put Goodfellas. Really, really racist. Casino has some racism. Really just all the mobster movies.
Sounds like a guy who's a two-time back-to-back Italian-American man of the year. Not very happy with what was going to.
Calls him as I sees him.
Yeah, yeah.
French Connection, also really good, just Gene Hackman movie.
Not a good racist movie, though.
You got to, there might be some elements of it. I have to go back and watch. It's been a while. That's a really good movie. All right, R.I.P., to Gene Hackman, who was terrific in many ways for like the better part of 50 years. Danny Cunningham in for Ken Carmen. Another glorious, glorious day where we as Cavs fans get to laugh at the struggles of other teams around the NBA, including the Boston Celtics. If you're just joining us now, Celtics, a loser last night against Detroit and JB Bickerstaff, who've won eight in a row. Bickerstaff, number two right now. In terms of the odds for Coach of the Year, number one, Kenny Atkinson. Real quick question before we get to the NFL.
Yeah.
I heard somebody, was it you, Owen, that told me yesterday?
I say a lot of things.
Was it? That's how I get it confused, and it wasn't Ken, because I'm not talking to Ken right now. I'm not fun.
Are you guys fighting, huh?
I want him to have fun on vacation.
And you're not fun, objectively.
No, not right now. The fun times are over. Oh, was it you who said, do Cleveland fans even care about Coach of the Year anymore? Because it seems like it's used disparagingly now against Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, it was a couple of days ago. I think I asked, do you even want to win it? Because it is the smarmy remark anytime you bring up Kevin Stefanski. And it went from being the thing that you used before last season to defend his honor.
Yes.
And now it's the thing you do to put him down.
Well, would you care if J.B. Bickerstaff won it in his first year somewhere else after the organization made the right decision to move on from him?
I would have cared if we were having a down year.
Right.
But do you think that would be considering? Because so with the Coach of the Year thing and what J.B. is doing in Detroit, I think is really impressive. And taking that team from 14 wins last year to where they're at now.
It's amazingly impressive.
Is very impressive. But I also don't think it's some crazy thing that this happened. Like they have a great player in Cade Cunningham, who part of the reason why they only won 14 games last year is because he was hurt for a good chunk of that season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a big part of the reason why they were as bad as they were. And Monty Williams very clearly did not want to be coaching there. The only reason he was because of the contract that they gave him. I think it's much more difficult what the Cavs have done this year than what Detroit has done this year. We see teams go from bad to good every year. Someone does it. We don't often see a team go from good to great the way that the Cavs have. Like, the Cavs could potentially have 20 more wins this year than they did last year. And they won 48 games last year. That, to me, is harder than going from 14 wins to 44 wins.
Now, I do think the Cavs would have had way more wins if they weren't besieged with injuries last year. I mean, they went 17-1, even with those injuries. But they also didn't have Ty Jerome. How many games is Ty Jerome worth this year? Feels like he's worth at least six.
I don't know.
Like, I feel like
Evan Mobley's the guy that's worth the most wins.
Darius
Garland, too.
Like, I agree, but I feel like no Ty Jerome. These games would be a lot closer, some of them. He has just come off the bench. And either way, I just think Bickerstaff, like, Ivy goes down with the injury, and people are like, that's it for Detroit. Like, he was there. People thought he was their second-best player.
I feel better about the Cavs if Bickerstaff wins Coach of the Year, only because we have all talked about, like, the reason that he was here was to build them to a point where he could no longer take them over the edge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he seems like the ultimate builder coach in the NBA right now, right?
Well, his reputation.
If you want to get your organization started off correctly, you bring in Bickerstaff.
Now, I wanted
we did the right thing.
Yeah.
We had him in, and then we let him go off, and he's helping somebody else do it, and that's fine.
And I think they still have some of the defensive traits that they established under Bickerstaff and that coaching staff.
No doubt.
Now, guys like Ty Jerome, kind of in their commentaries, right? It was it before the Knicks game?
Yes.
That you could kind of read between the lines, like, all right, these guys were over it. Now, that does happen with almost every coach in the NBA.
Right.
Like, there will be a time when they'll be over Kenny Atkinson. They might win two championships.
If, if they win a couple of titles, I don't know that the time will ever come.
It does happen with almost – there were guys that were tired of Phil Jackson at the very end. Like, it just happens.
That's fair.
In this league. Guys get disgruntled eventually. Kevin Durant was – over Steve Kerr eventually.
Yeah, but he's never happy. Like, you bring up the one example of a guy who is an all-time great player who is never, the only time he's ever happy is when he's on Team USA. Like, that's it. That's the only time in his basketball life, unfortunately, that he's happy.
I just watched this league and the way, and I was over Bickerstaff. When they lost to the Knicks, I was like, I think we need a coach that could have better prepared them for this series.
It's fair.
Atkinson has been just the perfect irony. He's going to win Coach of the Year unless something crazy happens. All right, 216-474-0092. Listen to Kevin Stefanski yesterday in Indy. Didn't make a lot of news, as he never really does when he talks. Try to read between the lines. So is this Kevin Stefanski doing what you're supposed to do come NFL draft when you have the number two overall pick, or is he speaking from the heart?
This is a really good class from top all the way through. And there's really good players like throughout this draft at that position. I could go through some other positions, but I'm impressed with the whole group.
So when Stefanski talks quarterback there, he's obviously referencing the guys we've been talking about nonstop, which is Shador Sanders, which is Cam Ward. He even throws in some of the guys who the Browns could definitely get to start the second round or maybe trade up into the end of the first round to get. Do you think he means it, or would he have said that if you and I were at the top of the draft?
I think he would have said that if you and I were at the top of the draft, because when you are going to select a quarterback at some point in the draft, whether they do it at number two overall, whether they do it in the second round, third round, they're going to take a quarterback in this draft. I think you can write that down, that is something that's going to happen when the draft rolls around. Do you want to have it as, oh, yeah, you know, we really didn't love a quarterback in this class, and then how does that guy feel when they get to town? Whether it is Shador Sanders, Cam Ward, somebody else later in the draft, of course you want to build that up. And the other part of it too is if the Browns want to trade out of number two, they want to make it seem as if they like the quarterbacks and they're okay standing pat at number two and selecting Cam Ward or Shador Sanders, whichever one, or maybe, you know, both of them are on the board at that point still. This is, to me, all about playing the game. And how does Kevin Stefanski actually feel about this? I don't know. I feel similarly to this, the same way I feel about everything that he says. I don't know how Kevin Stefanski actually feels about anything, and I'm okay with that as long as you win football games. Like, I don't care if you lie to me about these things. It's not in his contract to stand in front of the media and tell the truth.
You know, it's interesting. A week ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago, it was National Shador Sanders Week. There just were a lot of arrows pointing, and again, we're fully acknowledging the arrows and the speculation and the direction of the conversation. The people that control that are not us. I mean, that is controlled by all these decision makers who know very, very cautiously when they leak out stuff. It's by design in a lot of ways. So it's not our first rodeo, Danny. We've been lied to. I mean, Ken Carman tells a story on how he was flat out lied that the Browns were going to take Sam Darnold. By somebody that he very, very much respected, and he found out later he was played as a patsy.
Yeah.
So this happens all across the NFL every year. With that said, if 2 weeks ago is National Shador Sanders Week, doesn't it kind of feel like now Cam Ward has been the discussion in a lot of ways? You know, we've had the Stafford rumors, and now, you know, 48 hours later, it's like Stafford's going back to the Rams.
Right. It does seem as if, And you're right, the stuff is all cyclical. There's going to be five more rumors between right now and the draft that have to do with Shador, that have to do with Cam Ward, that have to do with maybe somebody else. Oh, could the Browns really like Jalen Milroe in the second round? Like, you're going to continue to hear that stuff as we go. Like, you're going to hear the Tommy Rees. Oh, he coached him at Alabama. Yep. That's going to come back up again, I promise
that
you.
That gone away a little bit. We haven't really heard his name.
It will come back. It will. It especially after he has a pro day and he's going to look great because he is a terrific athlete that's going to look great without shoulder pads and helmet on. So all that stuff's going to come back. I think part of the Cam Ward stuff now is not just that it's Cam Ward week, but we've also, and I'm curious to see if this changes considering the news that came out last night, but I think part of the conversation is shifted to Abdul Carter going number one.
And that conversation, I don't think existed a week ago, maybe. Maybe it did, just wasn't as loud. But if that happens, then you know Cam Ward's going to be available too. I don't know that we were operating under the pretense that he would have been at this point a week ago.
And wouldn't it be really, really interesting if Cam is there at number two and the Browns traded down? I mean, you understand the level of
Do you think they'll go on
discourse.
Record and say that they don't think he's going to be a top 20 quarterback the way they did in that position before?
You want to be careful. That is a famous story for the young kids that Danny is
Hey, man, he was right. Sashi was right about that.
Yes, indeed. I just don't know. The Browns have done a great job by making everybody guess, but Tennessee's doing a great job by making everybody guess. Right. This is what you do. It's not really hard
it's
to do,
game,
by the way.
Man.
Isn't it pretty?
It's the game.
I do love when people are giving laser eyes, not as many, to people like Andrew Berry. Like, this is the easiest part of the job.
Right.
Throw everybody off.
Yes.
When you're at the top of the draft. It's not hard.
Sitting in front of a microphone and lying is the easiest part of being a GM.
Every day.
Yes, you do.
It is the
better
easiest
than,
job.
Better than most.
Thank
you do it better than
finally.
Most.
Finally,
better
I get
liar.
My due.
Better liar. Anthony Lima or Andrew Berry.
216-474.
Put it on the poll. 0092.
All right. I want to get thoughts. So Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. Has anybody really changed your mind in this way? And if the pass rusher goes number one overall, does it make it easy? Do the Browns run to the podium to take Cam Ward?
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.